Hi everyone, welcome to Health Bunker Podcast. I'm your host Dom, I hope everyone's in good health. Health Bunker Podcast will solely be devoted to health. These podcasts will be around 45 minutes to an hour long, covering many different health issues and health solutions. I will be talking to guests who are doctors, naturopaths, nutritionists, functional doctors, supplement and equipment manufacturers, authors and other health related people. Health Bunker is a wellness clinic in Halifax, West Yorkshire, where we use ozone and IV nutrition therapies, including high-dose vitamin C and ozone tempest treatments. We also have Health Bunker supplements, a range of well-sourced UK supplements. Links will be in the bio for all Health Bunker products and info. All listeners get 25% discount off Health Bunker supplements, and there'll be a code there to use. Today on the podcast, we had Dr. Thomas Levy. I'm indebted to people like Dr. Levy. I have seen my children get better from illnesses in hours. I've seen family members and friends get better too. Passing information for free is so important, especially useful information. People, well, doubters, often ask me and Chris, but where are your solutions? Well, vitamin C is one of these solutions. So is nutrition. Yes, I know I sell vitamin C. And yes, I appreciate if you buy it off me. But you can just as easy buy it from someone else, like Clive DeCarle or anyone. Just buy some, use it properly, and see it work, and then pass on the information to others. It's that simple. Before we started, I felt quite emotional on this podcast, probably more than any other podcast I've ever done. I still do, thinking about it. Lyme is a terrible illness, and without Vit C and ozone, and the diet side of things, I don't really know whether I would have made it through. It does sound a bit dramatic that, but it's true. In the words of my eldest son, who sent me a text after he'd taken a huge dose of vitamin C when he was sick, throwing up. Vitamin C, a wonder drug. I don't know about the word drug, but I know what he means. It's the same son, incidentally now, who gives my grandson, his son, and his girlfriend and mother-in-law vitamin C. So let me introduce a hero of mine, it's not too strong a word, Dr. Thomas Levy. Hi everyone, I hope everyone's in good health. Today on Health Bunker Podcast, we welcome someone who I hold in very high esteem. He's a board certified cardiologist, doctor, and author who has written many books, like the two Bibles of vitamin C research, in my opinion anyway, my humble opinion, Curing the Incurable and Primal Panacea. Also, Stop America's Number One Killer and Death by Calcium, just to name a few. I'm sure we'll go into a few of them in a bit, which are must-reads for anyone interested in taking control of their own health and finding out what's actually going on in the world of health and pharmaceuticals. He and a few of his contemporaries, like Riordan Clinic's Dr. Ron Hunninghake, have carried out on the fantastic work by doctors Fred Klenner, Linus Pauling, and Robert Cathcart. So today I welcome Dr. Thomas. I'm going to say his name wrong again now, even though he just told me how to say it. Tell everybody how you pronounce your name.
Thomas Levy.
Levy, that's it, right. He got me mixed up because he said people have asked him what his name is and they've pronounced it straight away afterwards wrong. So anyway, I'll pretend it's got an I on the end. That's how we'd pronounce it over E, Levy. But anyway.
That'll be fine.
Yeah, well, welcome to the podcast. And it's great having you on.
Happy to be here, Dom.
Yeah. Can you give people information on where to buy your books from, especially in the UK, first, before we crack on?
Probably the easiest two ways. Well, three ways. Amazon, but Amazon doesn't have all of them. Amazon, my publisher website, which is medfoxpub.com. And then my own personal website, which is tomlevymd.com.
We'll put all the links in the bio and the description at the bottom.
Very good. Thank you.
But I mean, the list is growing of books. Have you got any new ones on the way?
It's kind of funny. Yes, I do. But it's taken a lot longer than I anticipated because gosh, in the last few months, interviews, podcasts, lectures, and everything have really started pouring in. And I find it very difficult to write well while being chopped up. I need to know that I have a solid 4 or 5 hour afternoon or something like that. And that's getting increasingly rare. Not complaining, just explaining.
Well, I'm in the middle of writing a book as well about some of the research I did 2 or 3 years ago on some of the cretins that were running the 2020 shenanigans
And
in
actually,
this
I've gotten
country.
to where I was writing more articles these days because the books are excellent resources. But when you talk to people and they want information and you link them to a book, it just doesn't get as readily appreciated or read as a well put together article. So, I mean, we're a very time bite society, and somebody who's sick who wants answers in the next 5 minutes doesn't want to sit down for several hours and read a book. I understand that. So I have a lot more articles coming out on the Orthomolecular Medicine News Service, orthomolecular.org, that goes into a lot of the things that I've talked about in the past, but now I've revisited them, gone to the most current literature through 2023, and discussed in more depth the issues about, for example, root canals, breast cancer, schizophrenia and niacin and these sort of things that they're not my original work, but I see that they're not really being properly appreciated. So I have to be the guy out there yelling and say, hey, wait a second, there's an answer to these issues. There's an absolute solid answer to these issues. Stop running straight to the oncologist for chemotherapy.
I bet Bill Gates and Big Pharma love you, don't
I wouldn't want to stir that pot, I suppose. No.
It's a scary pot, that, isn't it? I remember watching a video that you did a number of years ago when you showed the iron filings. That was taken quite a long time ago, wasn't it?
Wow, that's about over 20 years ago. No, 30 years ago. 30 years ago. So it's an old video. But it's still the same. That hasn't changed one bit. And for those who might be wondering what you're talking about, I'll just put it in a nutshell. When your foods say they're enriched and it mentions iron on the label, much of the time, and in cereals nearly all of the time, the form of iron is in metallic iron filings, absolutely metallic iron filings. And anybody who thinks that's good for you, well, they've already done too much damage to their brain.
They've already been lobotomized.
But it screws up the digestion, of course. What's the biggest area in every drugstore? All the stuff for an abnormal gut, constipation, heartburn, this, that, or the other. And when you're eating food that has these metallic iron filings in them, and it's a very vivid video that you saw, that keeps the gut in a state of oxidative stress. And oxidative stress, increased oxidation of the biomolecules being affected, is absolutely the reason for 100% of all disease, no exception. So when you do that, you're just losing the game before you start.
I suppose the
So
big.
it's really important to get, even if you can't afford organic food, which is almost always untainted, but you still need to read the label. Eating fresh foods, even if they're not organic, preparing, not just going straight to the box, and the carton, go to the vegetables and the fruits, the fresh meats, this sort of thing. And you can certainly avoid this iron and still have a healthier diet as well. Because obviously, I believe the less you eat out of a box, the better.
Well, I mean, I've just had a green juice that I've made at home, and we've just eaten. We cook everything fresh at home. Me and my brother were brought up on a farm. Our other podcast is called Sheep Farm, so that'll give you an idea of what we were. My father was a butcher, and so we were used to raising animals and eating them, basically. Sorry, vegans, but and growing vegetables as well. And eating your own stuff. So eating stuff out of a box is pretty alien. But
Oh, it that's yeah. And I was fortunate enough growing up in the 50s, and 60s.
the bygone era.
I had a mother who went out that pretty much shopped every day and absolutely fixed a phenomenal meat, vegetable, fresh dinner every day. So I really think that's got a lot to do with where I am now, because, you know, the first 18 years of your life, if you're just eating crap, I mean, you're just breaking down areas of your body, leaving areas of deficits that you may never restore. I mean, if you don't recognize a deficit, if you don't recognize a nutrient deficit, and you don't change the way you're eating or supplementing, how on earth are you ever going to restore that deficit? The answer is you're not.
Yeah.
The answer is you're not. So she really got me off and running for good health. I love her dearly. I'm sorry she's gone, but she did me well.
They were a generation of people that the generation, say, someone in the 20s now can't even, there's no connection to that generation anymore. They can't, it's a million miles away, isn't it now?
I had no idea my first 18 years of my life what a TV dinner was, or thaw something out and throw it in the microwave. You know, we didn't have a microwave.
And all our food at home was the same. My mother cooked fresh food. The leftovers were put in a stew, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, everything was eaten. There was no waste. To talk about recycling now and all this other nonsense that's going on, carbon footprint and stuff like that, everything was recycled. Everything. The bones were boiled for the dogs. It was all recycled. So, yeah, it's not a new thing. They're trying to make it sound like it's new. But, yeah, anyway, the Iron Filing one is one to watch if you can find it on YouTube.
Well, it's easy to find. If you go to YouTube, all you need to do is type in Dr. Levy Iron Video. There it is.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like Hellraiser. And all these iron filings sticking out from the bag. It is. I mean, people like yourself, one thing you guys have done, and I've watched countless lectures and podcasts that you've been on over the years, you've passed information on to laymen like myself, who have then gone on to pass it on to their family after trying out some of your protocols and massive doses of vitamin C, and have seen that your symptoms start reducing or disappear, and then you've given your child it, who's full of cold or what have you, and their symptoms have disappeared. There's no way that can be placebo, because they don't even know they're having it. And then we're passing it on, and I think that's an amazing thing, really. There's no financial gain out of any of that. You know, it's just information.
No, and the other thing too, and this is just, you know, shall you say, luck of the draw when you were born. Having the experience and the diet that I had for my first 18 years, also that's 1950 to 1968, okay, your daily exposure to air, water, and food, and other toxins was infinitesimal compared to now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all toxins cause oxidation, and you just can't write them off and just think, well, I'll have a huge toxin load, but I'll supplement well and I'll eat well. Well, that's only going to take care of part of it. I mean, if you continue to have toxin exposure here on a daily basis and good diet and supplementation to here, what does that translate to? Chronic disease. You get something going and it never goes back. I mean, I think we probably have 50 times more toxin exposures today of all variety than we did back in 1950. And you didn't need to buy an organic diet then, because the soils weren't depleted, the food was fresh, and it's a shame.
I don't mean
to be negative, but we've just been,
I think we've got to be realistic,
just about
not negative,
every way, including scientifically, in steady decline since then.
Yeah, I agree with you. I couldn't agree more. I also look at the people there of that generation. You know, I suppose they're called the baby boomers, but that generation, the generation before, how, I don't mean physically strong, but mentally strong. People are breaking down now, and it's all because of the toxification of their systems, breaking down mentally, physically. There's no.
You know, I actually hadn't thought about that, but I think you're right. That's a probably significant reason for, shall we say, the mental frailty, frailty of so many of our young people these days. And I'm talking like 15 to 30, these sort of things. They just, and they're not really well set mentally, physically, or physiologically for dealing with stress, because it's something that's got to come from inside. So now, by the same token, I do want to be fair and say right now, with all the, not that a college education is good these days, it's filled with propaganda, but let's just say the college education is good, all right? Back in my day, when I got a college education, I only needed to take a small loan, was able to pay it off. And here's the kicker. Back in the 60s, if you had a college education in this field, you had a 95% chance of getting a job in that field. Now, a college education in anything gives you no guarantee, not even remotely, of actually being hired for the thing that you studied and trained in. So there are a lot of different problems being faced by young people these days. But we, the adults, have to realize, like we're talking right now, and start putting a brake on these sources of toxins. We just think that we can just pile on more and more. And if you have a new toxin exposure and you don't die immediately, well, then it's okay.
Well, the body's a beautiful thing. It can put up with a lot of things before it collapses, can it?
Exactly. Compensatory, and then collapse, right?
Yeah. I mean, people. My youngest is 12-year-old, and people at his school are saying they're depressed at his age. He's coming back and telling us this stuff, and both boys and girls, they're getting moved class because they're not feeling well, or they're crying in class constantly. I mean, at 12-year-old, when I was in the 80s, all I did was laugh and joke and get told off for laughing and joking and playing.
Well, you know, I have to pass along a little anecdote of my own here. And for me, it was enormously significant. But well, I would say about 10, 12 years ago, I had been dealing with my own depression for a substantial period of time. Nothing like suicidal, but just what's the point of it all, blah, blah, blah. You're just really in a negative mood all the time. And I saw a commercial on TV where they were advertising a NutriBullet. That's the mixer that doesn't juice something. It just totally pulverizes. Yeah. So you break it down and then you, anyway, I said, what the heck? My nutrition, I don't think has been that good. This is true. So I bought a NutriBullet and I went out, did my research and got about 4 or 5 fresh organic veggies, 3 or 4 fresh organic fruits, and about 6 or 7 organic seeds of different varieties. NutriBlasted it, drank it down, and within about 2 hours later, it was almost like a cloud came out of my head. I completely lost my depression and I've lost it again forever. Point being is, what did I do? I gave myself some nutrients that I had no idea what they were, but they were depleted. And until I ingest something that has that nutrient in it, you're going to stay stuck in whatever physical, mental, or psychological rut that you're in.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's certain things that we can control. Diet's one of them, a major one of them. Ingestion of most chemicals we can control, not all of them, because some of them are in the environment, whether it's EMFs or sprayed on us or whatever. We can't get, but we have to have an answer to it. We can't make it too easy for whoever's wanting to poison us, really.
Exactly.
You know, it's, I mean, what, one thing people always ask me is, I eat vitamin C, I eat oranges, and I keep saying to them, look, you'd have to eat about 100 oranges to get probably 10 grams of vitamin C out of them, or 1,000 Brussels sprouts or whatever, right? You're never going to do that every day. If you do, you're going to be like a Graf Zeppelin and farting a lot.
And this is an important point too here, Dom. So a lot of people say, well, that's, if you need that much vitamin C and there's that little of it in foods and you can't get what you need in food, well, that's not natural. That's not right. A perfect diet should take care of you. Yes and no. Okay. Human beings share the genetic malfunction, the genetic loss of the ability to synthesize their own vitamin C inside their level, in their liver. Most of the wild animals can. So in your liver, you take glucose, you need to go through 4 enzymes, and the human being is deficient in the 4th enzyme. So the glucose doesn't get turned into vitamin C. But here's the kicker. If you look at animals that did not have this genetic defect, because they have a very similar physiology, do not have this defect, A goat, for example, 150-pound goat, size of a small person. And that goat, if everything is fine, will make 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 grams of vitamin C and directly push it into the blood.
Wow.
Every day. Now, it takes a whole lot more of supplementation than that to get that actual amount inside the blood due to absorption and everything else. Number two, when you give that goat a severe toxic challenge or a life-threatening infection, the liver will ramp up and start making 30, 40, 50 grams of vitamin C a day directly into your blood. So that's what's natural, all right? So we're pushed into an unnatural situation where we lost an ability that's vital to our health. But that's why, for the people that say, well, it's just not reasonable that if you have a perfect diet, that shouldn't be enough. For many things, it is. For many nutrients, it is. But for vitamin C, it's not. For magnesium, it's not. For niacinamide, niacin, it's not. For vitamin B2, it's not. And these are all very important as well. But especially so with vitamin C, because it's your premier antioxidant, that's your front line in fighting the single thing that causes all disease, which is increased oxidative stress. All the biomolecules get oxidized and lose electrons. That becomes your disease. And until you can stop the new toxins long enough and bring in the antioxidants to redonate electrons to those oxidized biomolecules and restore them to normal function, you not only stay sick, but you get sicker until you finally submit.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that we probably used to be able to produce our own vitamin C. It's like somebody's designed us with that control in place.
There's a lot of theories out there, you know, the aliens did it and this, that, and the other to make us. I got to tell you this, though, without telling you or speculating as to a reason why we lost that, you do make a population easier to
manipulate
and control if they have a certain baseline degree of illness and reliance on things that they wouldn't otherwise. And I mean, right now, we consider good health to be no significant symptoms on 5 or 6 different prescription medications, or lessened headaches and lessened muscle aches on 5 or 6 different prescriptions, and a relatively good looking blood sugar of 150 rather than 85 or 90. So all of these things. And that's another thing too, diabetes. What did I just tell you about the liver? The liver takes glucose to make vitamin C. So we lost that enzyme. So what else do we lose when we're not making the vitamin C? We're increasing the glucose. The glucose is there naturally to help make the vitamin C. But if you're not making the vitamin C, then you have this huge explosion of diabetes among people, because one of the primary functions of glucose is to be a substrate and a precursor to vitamin C. And in the human being, that's lost, which means the glucose levels just start shooting up because you're no longer release valving them by allowing them to make new vitamin C.
It is like something was designed at some point to either change.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't because be surprised. Nothing surprises me much anymore.
Well, we in my view, and it's not being negative, going back to what you were saying before, it's being realistic. You've got to be realistic. It is quite a depressing subject when you realize you're being controlled. But the reality is that's the reality. And
well, anybody who's been through the pandemic and doesn't have a pretty good grip on that right now, they're just not paying attention.
Yeah, you're right there. We've done loads of shows on the nonsense that's been going on due to with that control. But I it's strange, because if the controllers, we'll call them, whoever the top table is, if they wanted to rid people of illness, what we've just spoke about in the first 25 minutes or whatever, if they got rid of all that, hardly anybody would be ill anymore within a generation, probably.
Well, certainly, if the things that you're talking about, that I'm talking about, were properly embraced and completely utilized.
So I've been asked by a few people when I mentioned that you were coming on. Well, a lot of people asked me different questions, but I remember watching a lecture you did called The Ultimate Antibiotic, Vitamin C, The Ultimate Antibiotic. And you were talking about scurvy symptoms, which got my mind ticking. Going back, it must be over 10 years ago that I saw that lecture. And that is what, in a nutshell, you summed it up just in that title, that is the ultimate antibiotic, isn't it? Because that.
Absolutely. I mean, we could go into the mechanisms, but I don't need to want to go that trail. But I can tell you, yes, absolutely. There is really not a single acute infectious disease that vitamin C won't resolve when properly dosed and properly administered. It's because all infections cause all of their damage, whether it's whatever your symptoms are, or whether it's you finally die, whatever the situation is, all infections, 100%, cause all of their damage by creating toxins and pro-oxidant substances that go out and oxidize those biomolecules in the body. And when you oxidize a protein, a sugar, an enzyme, a structural molecule, guess what? It no longer works. It no longer works, but it occupies space. So you just started filling your cells with non-working biomolecules that's just blocking the interaction of the other biomolecules that need to get together and support normal metabolism. And vitamin C is so far the ultimate way to, as long as you're getting the proper dose in there, to either quench the toxin, which is seeking an electron, to quench it before it does its damage, or to go in after the fact and reduce or give electrons back to the oxidized biomolecules, and then you start to get a recovery from whatever the situation is, the infection, you name it. And for the same reason, what did I just say? Infections cause all the damage by the toxins that they produce. If you forget about the infectious part for a moment and just look at a toxin, a heavy metal, mercury, lead, pesticides, any toxin that you can think of, vitamin C is also the ultimate antitoxin. If you get enough vitamin C inside somebody that's been poisoned, overdosed, whatever the situation is, the only thing that's going to kill them is too acute an increase in oxidative stress throughout their body. Too many new oxidized biomolecules at once, and then your body no longer functions well. So, vitamin C is not just a vitamin or a nutrient or a therapy. It's actually, to be clear, the pivotal molecule in understanding physiology. You know, what it does do, what it can't do, what its properties are, what properties it doesn't have. This pretty much allows you to understand everything in physiology to a lesser or greater degree.
I mean, from my journey with Lyme disease from 2008, I can pretty much say there's two things, apart from diet, put diet to one side, there are two things, vitamin C and ozone, they're the two things that probably, I'll say saved my life, but more allowed me to get my life back. But I went through some, with Lyme disease, you get some real head issues, if you like, and mental frailties and things. And I don't know where I honestly don't know where I'd been without sodium ascorbate or ascorbic acid throughout that process for the daily symptoms. Not necessarily curing myself with those with that, but daily symptoms to ramp them down so I could live even slightly more productive.
Well, let me tell you this, okay? If you like, I'll go into what I consider the Super 8 supplements.
Let's do it.
And Super 8 supplements, and if you want to take more, take more. Okay? If you want to take others, take others. Not saying they're not good, they don't help, but these eight are absolutely pivotal toward reducing oxidative stress by bringing calcium down inside your cells and by optimizing ATP production inside your mitochondria. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, when you have a normal vitamin C level inside your cell and you have a normal ATP production in the mitochondria, you've got a normal cell. No matter what it was, quote unquote, sick with before, it ain't sick no more. All right. And the thing is these supplements affect every cell in the body. So that's why I'm telling you, and you can give me feedback later, that if you go ahead and start this regimen, I would venture and hazard a guess that you'll be completely symptom-free of whatever remaining nagging problems you might have had with the line. You know, take a few weeks to a month as the levels build up. Now, what are they? Okay, not surprisingly, the first four are the ones that calcium, I wrote a book called Death by Calcium. All disease, 100% of disease, has elevated calcium inside the cell. And until that calcium comes down, the oxidative stress is enormous and all the disease processes result. Well, so what brings those calcium levels down? Number one, magnesium. Okay. The more magnesium you get inside the cell, the lower the calcium goes. And that's probably the primary reason magnesium is such a super supplement, is because it directly counteracts the toxicity of excessive calcium inside every cell in your body that is involved in the disease process. Magnesium, good to take a couple grams a day if it doesn't cause a bowel effect. What type? Hey, there's 15 different types out there. Look at the other part of it too and see which one satisfies you best. Magnesium glycinate, some people need a lot of glycine. Magnesium threonate, some people need a little bit more in their brain. Magnesium chloride, very good in the setting of the pandemic because it has its own powerful antipathogen properties independent of everything else. So magnesium is one. Number two, of course, no surprise, vitamin C. People say how much? You first got to say everybody's different, but if you really want a very general ballpark, 3 to 9 grams of the sodium ascorbate powder a day in divided doses. If you are willing to pay a little extra and get even a better effect, especially over there where your neck of the woods, Live On Labs, Altrient has taken the product of Live On Labs and sells it there. That's a liposome encapsulated form. And let me tell you right now, when Live On took off like a rocket because everybody started feeling great and nobody had ever liposome encapsulated something, everybody and his sister thought they're going to start labeling their supplements liposomes. There's more fraud in this than anything I've ever seen in my life.
They're not the same. They're just not the same product.
They're not the same. So vitamin C, magnesium. Number three, no surprise, vitamin D3. Okay. And most people are going to need to take probably, in general, at least 5,000 units a day, maybe as much as 10,000. And after you've been on it for a few months, check your blood level and make sure that you've gone over 50 nanogram per cc and not above 100, which is a pretty easy range to get into. Okay, those three. Number four, vitamin K2, which has its own unique ability to mobilize calcium again. Something on the order of 500 micrograms per day. Now, an interesting point that I make, and let's talk about these first four, magnesium, vitamin C, vitamin D3, vitamin K2, each one of those supplements by itself as a mono supplement in studies decreases all-cause mortality. So any one of those by themselves decreases your chances of dying from anything. Now, that means it's affecting every cell in the body. Otherwise, it would just positively impact disease A, but not impact disease B. All right. Those are the ones for normalizing calcium. And anybody wants more information on that, send me an email. I'll give you an ebook for free on death by calcium, and you can see all the data. Now, the next four, I've been taking for a few months now. I'm 73. And maybe you could want to call me an exaggerator or whatever you want to call me, but I'm at a level of health I haven't been in 30 years very easily. I mean, just everything, brain, energy, the mind, things don't bug me before. Like I said, you know, anything going on mentally is still nutrient based. All right, enough of that. And that is, they have something inside the mitochondria called the electron transport chain, which basically your good diet brings in electrons. Electrons are life. Electrons are life. So it brings in new electrons. You can't generate new electrons in your body. You can shuttle them around, but you can't generate them. So you need the new fuel, bringing new electrons, gets into the cell, comes down to what's called the Krebs cycle, and then starts bringing the electrons in to this four-step electron transport chain that leads to the production of ATP. ATP, for those who don't know, is the primary energy donating molecule in the body. It powers so many different enzymes. When you're low on ATP, you're out of it, okay? On the other hand, when you're optimizing ATP, you're at the top of your game. Well, the first step has NAD called nicotine adenine dinucleotide. Well,
I'm glad you said that.
NAD is getting increased popularity as a supplement, and that's fine. Some IV, and it's really expensive that way. But this is what Dr. Abram Hoffer did 50 years ago with schizophrenia, is he found they were severely low in NAD, which, again, if you're not making NAD and it's in the cells of your brain, you're not making ATP, you've got a messed up head, whether it's psychosis, schizophrenia, depression, you name it. So niacinamide, which is the non-flush form of niacin, in a dose of 500 to 3,000 milligrams a day, up ramps step one. And before I go on, remember that any chemical reaction, any metabolic sequence should be obvious, but I'll point it out. You need continued new substrate in order to work. Otherwise, you use up all your substrate and you're done. So it doesn't matter if the last three stages are working well if you're not supplying all cells. So when you have a reaction that's important in your body, you always need to supply enough fuel, enough substrate to keep the different components properly stocked to complete the reaction. So niacinamide for NAD. Your second step is flavin adenine dinucleotide, okay? And you know what the direct precursor to that is riboflavin, vitamin B2. Niacinamide is vitamin B3. Riboflavin is vitamin B2. 400 milligrams a day or a little more. Very inexpensive. Turns your urine bright yellow so people don't get upset. Yeah. Okay, all right. The third step, super important, because it's not only by itself the third step, but it also helps the first two steps, is coenzyme Q10. And significantly dosed, I would say between 300 and 900 milligrams a day. Okay to take more. You know, some people, you know, it just gets to be expense. And then the fourth stage, methylene blue. Methylene blue comes in all by itself, even without those first three steps, and donates electrons to cytochrome C oxidase and incredibly upregulates ATP production all by itself. Now, when you take all four of these together on a regular basis with all four of the basic calcium regulating supplements, magic happens. I can't tell you the number of things I've seen just resolve that weren't resolving before. Okay. Because, and so I encourage you.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Well,
and try that fairness, out and give me some feedback. Send me an email, because I'm supremely confident you'll be back to whatever your best level of health
is. I have to say,
maybe a bit better.
Something has changed in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I was saying this to my wife. I've upped the dose of IVs, vitamin C. Now, it's not in huge forms, but it's 35 grams. It's a decent size. On a weekly basis with a multi-complex B range. So I'm getting,
I wanted to point
Bs.
That out too. A lot of people say, well, they have vitamin B3 and vitamin D2 and a multi-B complex. We're talking about astronomically higher doses of those individual B vitamins.
Yes.
So taking that multi-complex is good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't completely address the deficiencies that might be
I agree with
associated
you.
with the different B vitamins.
I'm on about an IV though. So IVs, you'll absorb more of it, won't you? And a multi-mineral, obviously no calcium. And I felt so much different.
And no iron or copper.
Oh
No iron or
no,
copper.
none of that.
Okay.
But I felt so much different the last 2 or 3 weeks since I've
Okay.
done that. So the only
You
what sort of
probably
missing
stumbled upon
by accident.
restoring a deficiency, just like I stumbled upon with my Nutribullet, restoring a deficiency that I had never known how to address. Like I said before at the outset here, if you have a nutrient deficiency that you've obviously acquired because you're chronically not taking in enough of that nutrient, and you don't know what it is, and you don't change your diet, it ain't going away.
No, it's not going away at all. And you could only be missing two or three things, like the methylene blue, for argument's sake. I don't do that. I do all the other stuff, and I do them in quite high doses as well. Maybe not
Let
up
me
to the
tell you, the
optimum
methylene
amounts.
blue is in this particular protocol is really important.
It's interesting that even someone of your, I'll say, ilk, is still learning. That's good to see from me. He's still learning new things every day and still
Almost
wanting
every
to
day,
learn.
almost every day. I'm pleased to say that because I sometimes think about this, worry about it a little bit. Well, I'm advocating this now, but I didn't before. Let's just say I really don't know of anything that I've said in my lectures or presentations that's wrong. I've just discovered more stuff to make things even better. So don't go back to a lecture 10 years ago and say, that's what I need to do. I mean, we're all works in progress. But I haven't found anything, to my knowledge, that I've recommended that was bad for you as time went on.
Well, I've not heard anything that you've said within those. You've never changed your mind on calcium, for argument's sake, or
No, no.
iron filings.
And copper, boy, did I stir up a lot of crap with people
Did you?
on their copper. I mean, one thing, let me just say this because it's an important point. And the same thing is for iron, but particularly for copper. First, I'll start saying never supplement copper. I don't care who you are, what your reason is, because nobody has a copper deficiency. You'll have people argue that they do, but they don't. All right. Many people, almost the entire population, has a copper excess. And in fact, we have evidence of cardiomyopathies now that are secondary to these long-standing increased levels of calcium, copper that people think and their doctors think are fine. Well, as it turns out, they try to use this reason and say, well, copper is so important. It's in how many hundred different metabolic reactions and coenzymes. So you got to keep taking it to keep that going. No. The copper that powers all those enzymes is continually recycled. You don't need a huge new amount to come in because you're not consuming it. You're passing it back and forth from a reduced form to an oxidized form to a reduced form into an oxidized form. And taking in more copper does nothing but, like iron, astronomically increase oxidative stress and make all of your other problems worse. So,
So
and
they're
pretty
the
much the
sweet
same
little.
story with iron. And they make the same argument about iron that you got to take iron, especially if your ferritin's low. That's the iron storage. No, not if you have a normal blood count. In order to support the synthesis of enough blood, the iron will take care of all the other things that it's needed for because you only need large amounts, relatively large amounts of iron to make a normal amount of blood. So if you do not have an anemia, you should never take iron, no matter how low the ferritin level is. And the type of anemia is important too. They do have a specific iron that anemia that you can identify under the microscope. It's called microcytic hyperchromic. But it's very clear that it's an iron deficiency, and you do need to take iron for that. What do so many of our internists, and especially our oncologists, because cancer patients, they beat down their immune systems, and they have what's called an anemia of chronic disease. It is not an iron deficiency anemia, but they'll say, well, this mindset, you got an anemia, you need iron. No, you only need iron for one type of anemia, and all the other types, you're really just poisoning your patient.
Wow, that is that. I've seen so many fantastic results with people coming in and doing high doses of vitamin C. But one of the things we struggle with is obviously people undergoing treatment for cancer, because it's difficult to get them to realize the size of doses that they actually need to take. And obviously, oncologists aren't going to say, go and do vitamin C. But people who do, we see results, especially people who live the life, going back to what you were saying, from a diet perspective, etc. Results are phenomenal. But the people have got to commit, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, so many people are chronically deficient in vitamin C, even if they think they're feeling good. When they start enough vitamin C, they suddenly lights go on. They feel an awareness of proprioception, their body, their brains that they never had before. That's why so many people that started the Altrient vitamin C, the live on vitamin C, and that's why the company shot off like a rocket is because people would take a packet or two and my goodness, I've got energy I've never had before. And the thing that's good about that, another thing too, is it gives you a new health intuition. Okay, if you've been dealing with something, you get your vitamin C levels up. Wow, I really feel good now. Then the next day, well, I don't feel bad, but I don't feel as good as I did yesterday. Then that's when you know you're getting an infectious or a toxin challenge, and you pound it with extra high dose of vitamin C to get up and maintain that. But you actually become much more aware of your body and how it's reacting to things. And if you're sluggish or tired or listless or this, that, or the other, I mean, so many people are so toxic, they get into a certain health rut, shall we say. But it's ultimately what they identify as being normal because they've never had the opportunity to feel normal.
That's correct. And going back to, say, the days of scurvy when people were sailing across the Atlantic, we're now suffering similar illnesses. But if you think about going back when they said that you only need 60 milligrams of vitamin C, for argument's sake, a day, which is a bit of a joke. But let's just say you did. That was then when there was less toxicity about. Let's just say now, with all the
Well, good
toxic.
point. 60 milligrams 200 years ago would have done you a whole lot more good than 60 milligrams now. Absolutely.
Exactly.
No question about it.
You might need.
It's all relative. Toxins, antioxidants, toxins, antioxidants. Yes.
You might need, I don't know, 20 grams a day today in different areas of the world. So in one area in the countryside, you might only need 10, but in the city, you might need 20.
Correct. Correct.
And like you say, it's about knowing your own body. The one thing I'd say about liposomal and vitamins, I like mixing them because I think they all do slightly different things, or that's the feeling I get. IV, liposomal, and sodium ascorbate. You can feel it do it. I get the feeling that because liposomal absorbs that quick into your system, it misses out certain parts of the gut, whereas sodium ascorbate, it's in there a bit
Excellent
longer.
point. And that's a very good point because one of the primary ways that sodium ascorbate does such a good effect for you is because it's unencapsulated and the lion's share of your immune system cells are lining your gut. So as you immediately absorb them, the first cells that get exposed, if you will, to the new influx of vitamin C are immune cells. So yes, sodium ascorbate taken orally, really works well to load up your monocytes and your leukocytes and your phagocytes and all the immunologically active cells that need to go out and basically eliminate infections by engulfing the pathogens. And in the engulfment of pathogens, you need a large amount of vitamin C inside that cell for that to work.
And
Whereas
also,
to a great degree of the liposome, good liposome, won't bypass it completely. I mean, the liposomes will also help those cells too, but they get in the lymph system and then get throughout the body. Yes.
because they're so good at absorption,
Right.
that's what I meant. And it's like having an IV. The first place it's going to hit is your blood, isn't it? Obviously. Then it's going to dissipate through your body, and it's going to get less
You
and less
know,
and
you
less.
said it's like an IV. I've actually said, not completely jokingly, because I have some wild experiences, it's like IV in a box. I mean, if I get sick, I want everything. But I tell you what, I tell you what, if you gave me a choice, if I'm really sick, between 30 grams of liposome encapsulated from Altrin or Livon, or a 50 gram vitamin C IV, I'll take the box. That's how much more effective it is. And because it nearly all gets absorbed, and when it gets into the blood, that's not bioavailability. That's the beginning of it. Bioavailability is when it gets inside the cell. And that's what the liposomes do, and they do it without the consumption of energy. Even when you take vitamin C intravenously, and of course it's not encapsulated, it's just vitamin C,
People say to me,
you need to utilize energy to get the vitamin C inside the cell.
People say
And
to
you
me,
don't with liposomes.
Altrean or Livon, it's expensive stuff, whatever, 30, 40
Yes.
quid a box over here. However, if you
Let me
go for
make the suggestion before you go on, is in that that's important too, because even if you can't take it all the time, keep a couple boxes in your refrigerator as first aid.
But I say this, an IV will cost you, a high dose IV might cost
Exactly.
you 150 quid over here or whatever, $200. Whereas
Absolutely.
a
Well,
box of Livon
and
Labs
more.
and
It's going
more.
up a lot.
So I viewed it as I could have 30 grams of vitamin C anytime I wanted. I didn't have to go to a clinic. This was before we had our clinic. Didn't have to go to a clinic or anything. But the nurses say to me, "What would you do?" I'd say I'd take it all because I want all bases covered with it. That's my view. And but I'm coming from an angle of being coming from chronically ill. Anyway, that
Well, let
but
me say this,
the
purely anecdotal, but I think very interesting to me. I mean, about 10 years ago, I was in Puerto Rico and my wife was back in Denver. She had gotten some sort of bug bite on her face and things were swelling rapidly. And then next thing and then she showed me a picture of her eye was swollen shut. And I said, "Oh my God." And I'm thinking horrible things spreading to the brain and all. I said, "I can't get back. There's not a flight available for me to get back and give you an IV." And I said, "You've got the liposome encapsulated vitamin C, right?" She said, "Yes." Now, mind you, she was already on maximal recommended antibiotic dosages and everything else. And this was getting worse, worse, worse. So I said, "Take 5 packets every hour, every hour, every hour, every hour till you go to bed. And then tomorrow morning, first thing, take another picture." Next morning, she took a picture and the eye was starting to open up. That's
I've seen
how powerful it is. Yeah.
it is that powerful. I've seen stuff like that. I've seen people turn around in less than half an hour with that who have
Yes.
been laid down out for the count. I remember taking some sachets down to my mother-in-law. She had bad flu of some nature several years ago, and I'd been nagging them to take vitamin C, and they looked at me like I was nuts. But when the when people are ill, they will try things. That's one thing, they will try. Anyway, she tried it. 10 minutes later, she went, "Do you want a drink?" Didn't drink a coffee, Dom. She were up and around. And so, I mean, the different types of liposomal products, I only ever use Altrin, and there are a lot of products out there that I've
Allow
tried.
me to tell you one other little story. Okay, this happened about 15 years ago. I was in Colombia with my wife. We bought a beautiful little tiny puppy. Of course, the puppy got the vaccines and all that sort of stuff. Looked fine. And then we got back to the house. All right. I start working and I see the puppy's just laying there, looked like it was dead on the floor. Said, "What am I going to do?" So I got a little bit of milk and sucked it into a syringe and a whole packet. So that's 1 gram for a body that size. Okay. That's a lot of vitamin C. Okay. And he still had the swallowing reflex. So I took it, sucked it in, and then just put it in, and I could see the swallowing, the swallowing, the swallowing. Got it in. Said, "Well, that's all I can do." And I went back to my computer. And about 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, I see some movement out the corner of my eye. And the little dog had gotten up, walked across the room, taken a little poop, taken a little pee. And then I made my mistake. I said, "I got it." I didn't continue. So another couple hours later,
Zonked.
blunk, and died. What I needed to do, obviously, was put another, put another, put another. And that's one thing about infections and vitamin C. You don't relent on the dosage until you're completely well for at least 24 hours. If you're completely well for 24 hours, then you can back off.
I
But
said
don't
to
back off before then, because it's very easy to relapse for whatever the infectious process is.
100%. I say to people, if you go to bed and you're feeling ill, take some just before a massive teaspoon, 2 teaspoons before you go to bed, and have some at the side of the bed in case you wake up in the middle of the night. I remember my son, he was probably 20, early 20s. He must have got some sickness bug, and he didn't come in for work. And I said, "Where are you?" And he went, "Oh." I said, "Have you had some vitamin C?" And he went, "No, I can't keep anything down." I said, "Don't worry about that. Just get some in a glass and swill it around your mouth." 20 minutes later, I said, you better swallow it within 20 minutes because it'll absorb into your mouth and it'll reduce symptoms, and then you better drink some." He texts me half an hour later, "Vitamin C, miracle." And he went back in work. These are the stuff you see, and you've seen many more than I have. My youngest, who I told you about, he came home from school. You know, when the cat that sort of they laid down and they just got a fever. And I said to my wife, "Oh, I've just given him a full teaspoon of vitamin C." Bear in mind, he were only 5 or something like that then. And my wife said, "Oh, no, so have I." So he'd had whatever, best part of 15 grams within 5 minutes. And I said, "Well, we'll soon see if it works." 30 minutes later, he's up and running around. And yeah, I know you've seen
You're
all this.
preaching to the choir
I
here,
know I'm not
Bob.
preaching
Preaching to
to you, certainly, but
the choir.
he's trying to explain this to people, and they look at you like you're insane. Well, if it works for you and you'll have heard all this, why don't the NHS use it in Britain and et cetera, et cetera? It's just so. Would you say sodium ascorbate powder from the powder perspective, not the liposomal perspective, is probably the best one to aim for, or if you
Sure,
can't?
absolutely. I mean, I think it's very counterproductive to take vitamin C that's pressed into pills and this sort of thing. So either the powder by itself, or there is available some places capsules of powder. A lot of people don't want to mess with mixing something up like that and take the capsules, because the gel cap disappears immediately and then you're back to pure powder. But yeah, you want to keep it simple. I mean, it's a don't and people say, "Oh, what about natural vitamin C?" And this, well, all that's designed to do is to make more money by adding other stuff to it. That's not to say it's not good. The more other antioxidants you take with vitamin C, the better. So, different bioflavonoids, et cetera, those all make vitamin C help it out, but it's not essential for the function of vitamin C. And you even have some crazy people saying ascorbic acid is not vitamin C.
Yeah,
Well,
I know. Well,
that's
I've
what they've
seen it
written
work.
about for 80 years, and that's what Dr. Albert St. George discovered was ascorbic acid. He didn't discover vitamin C complex coming out of plants with a dozen other things associated with it, which again, I say is good, but don't confuse it with the fact that vitamin C is vitamin C is vitamin C. And it also allows you economically to take a lot more vitamin C, because when you take a bunch of these other combination products, you rapidly use up your fungible money that you need for supplements, and you're still not getting close to the amount of ascorbic acid or sodium ascorbate that you actually want and need.
100%. So just going back to Lipsomal, there are many different brands on the market, aren't there? And
Oh,
I
countless.
only ever tell people to buy Altrium as it is in the UK or Europe. It used to be Livon over here, but I don't think they could trade under Livon over here.
Yeah, Livon produces it, and Altrion is the label distributor over here, but it's the same product.
Yeah,
Livon in
it's
the
exactly the
States
same.
is exactly the same, yes.
I only ever tell people to buy that because all the other products, they don't work the same.
Right. And they talk about homemade liposomes, okay? Using an ultrasonic
It's not the
cleaner,
same. It's
left
not the
is it.
same.
You're taking in vitamin C, that's good. All right. And you might take a bunch of it and feel better, but it's not in the liposome form. All right. Making a quality liposome, believe me, is a complicated, expensive process. There's so many variabilities. Each batch has to be scientifically checked for quality. And it's not okay. I saw one bottle once that said liposome vitamin C. So I flipped around the label. The only thing on the label was ascorbyl palmitate, which is a fat-soluble form of vitamin C. It's got nothing to do with the
No,
liposome. Now,
no.
that's as pure fraud as fraud can be, but
Yeah. I mean, that's one
people are
extreme, isn't
fraudulent
it?
until they're caught. What? Yeah, people are fraudulent until they're caught.
Yeah, and like I say, taking any form of vitamin C is good. You're taking vitamin C at the end of the day,
exactly.
but don't confuse the two qualities.
That's why so many people are getting away with it, is because it's not like they're still taking something that's not good for them. Anything that gets more vitamin C in them, people are going to see a benefit, especially if they were severely depleted.
Yes,
100%.
But
we talked about how potent the liposome, true liposome, can be when you take enough of it, and regular vitamin C will help, but it won't have, in my opinion, that profound an impact. Okay. So, but like I said at the outset, you and me, if I'm sick, I want them all.
Yeah.
Give it to me IV, give me some sodium ascorbate, and then I'll take my packets. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's not a bad place to end. Have you got anything else you want to add to what we've been saying today?
Well, not so much in particular. I do often tell people that, because, and again, we have the pandemic to show this, don't go to any doctor that won't engage you and answer your questions. I mean, if you're a bother to your doctor when you ask him or her questions, don't walk out of that office, run out of it. Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, when people are sick, they're docile. Okay. It's kind of, and the only thing they have the energy to do is just offer up their warm body to whatever doctor's office they get into. Mm. Well, as often as not, with what we now know about what's good for you and what's not good for you,
yeah,
that's not good for you. Okay. Yeah. If you
I think we're talking about the Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson and Moderna.
Yeah. Well, that too. Yeah. But if you go to a doctor who does strictly pharmaceutical drug prescriptions, you're losing the game right at the start. So finding a good integrative physician, somebody, even if they don't, that doesn't mean they're going to know or talk about everything I've talked about there, but at least they're on board with the fact that orthomolecular medicine, the right molecule, all disease is different nutrient deficiencies of different types. And until you restore those nutrients, you don't get healing. Whereas pharmaceuticals, they just treat symptoms and they let the disease go on. So literally speaking, and I know a lot of doctors won't like this if they hear it.
Good.
Doctors don't do, not only don't do a lot of good, if they're keeping one way or another that patient from seeing a truly knowledgeable physician that knows about vitamins, minerals, and nutrients, the thing we're talking about, they're doing that patient harm.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't agree more with you. I mean, you'll have seen miles more than I have, but seen so many bad outcomes from. It's just horrific. All right, then we'll wrap up there. I'll let you get on with your day.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Dom.
It's been great having you, and it's good to finally meet you.
Okay. Thank you. Take care. Yeah.
Okay, we've reached the end of this episode. Again, I would, on behalf of me, my family, I'd like to thank Dr. Thomas Levy for the information he has shared with us over the past few decades. I really don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for his information and vitamin C. So that's all we have. Join us next time on Health Bunker Podcasts, when we take control of our own health.